I want before. But unfortunately, Hong Kong is a very small place and with a lot of population here.
Mm-hmm.
So privacy or personal space or rooms are rather limited.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it creates a very tight society which people worry or afraid to expose their privacy,
mm-hmm.
such as their own sexual orientation or even their love affair. If it's a strict love affair, they even don't want to really let too many people know.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, plus the Chinese culture, plus the British Christian culture,
mm-hmm.
It create an atmosphere for the local gay and lesbian people here, that making them very closeted.
Mm-hmm.
Before, even gay movement in Hong Kong has been, you know, happening for 10 years and more. And also we have 14 gay and lesbian groups here now. But still, general gay population are still underground,
mm-hmm.
still rather underground. Not many people dare to come out. Even those people who work in these 14 gay and lesbian organizations, they don't really want to have too much exposure.
Mm-hmm.
They rather doing internal things instead of being interviewed or coming out to speak in the public.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see, before the communists come, we were already in comparison with the two regions like Taiwan and China. Yes, we are better than China, but in comparison with the West and Taiwan, what happened now? We were rather closet already.
Mm-hmm.
Now plus the communists come, I think that would really affect the situation here.
Mm-hmm.
That it is less easier to educate more people come out, or for the gay population here to come out.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I know that homosexuality is not actually a crime in China, or in Hong Kong, rather, if I'm not mistaken. But is it sort of the situation where if people do find out that you're gay, you risk losing your job and that kind of thing?
I think prejudice is everywhere. And first of all, in mainland China, in PR China, there is no particular laws against homosexuality. In Hong Kong, we have the old British law, against male homosexuality, but nothing against lesbian. In 1991, the law changed. Any consenting adult, age at 21 or above, committing any homosexual act in private, which means your own home,
mm-hmm.
is not criminal act.
Okay.
So that's the situation now in Hong Kong. But with the law change, we don't know. But then even though in China they don't have law, in Hong Kong the law has been changed, still the Beijing or the China government, we on and off heard that they would, you know, arrest gay people or go to gay disco or gay bar to raid them, to disturb them. I think towards homosexuality, the Beijing government is rather conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, like some of the gay people from mainland China, I know that they're having a hard time in mainland. They dare not to let anybody know. Even they want to organize some organization, the authority will right away come to them. That's why I know two or three of them already left China and went to, you know, San Francisco and Europe like that. In Hong Kong, although it is under the British ruling and we have the law changed, but still you will have great pleasure from work and from your family, since most of the people here in Hong Kong live with their families, their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have your relatives right next door or next street. So it is not environment for Chinese people to come out as gay and lesbian here in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, you were kind of the key organizer, I suppose, of the Chinese Lesbian and Gay Conference, where people came together from Hong Kong and mainland China and Taiwan, I guess, as well, to talk about stuff. What kind of issues got discussed at that, and did you talk at all about the handover, about what kind of political activities were going on in the various communities?
Let me see. Last year, since it was the first time that the three regions gay activists meet for the very first time in history, so therefore not much we could talk deeply, since it is the first time we met. We spent a lot of time on introducing each other, getting to know each other, and by then not much time left that we could discuss something deep enough. I think next year, the second Chinese Gay and Lesbian Conference would be able to discuss on some special issues better. So last year, majorly, we get to know each other for the first time, and then secondly, we talk about or introducing our own situation, like Taiwanese gay activists will tell us how the situation really is in Taiwan. People from Beijing or Shanghai will let us know what happened to them as well, and we also tell everybody what is going on here in Hong Kong. And that sort of discussion, the issue were gay culture in the West, and the difference of gay culture in the West and in the East, gay culture in Hong Kong and in Taiwan. I think we also talk about lesbian, bisexual, but not much political issues at that time. I think off the official program, we did talk about, you know, what's going to be happen to Hong Kong off the official program. What happened to Hong Kong in the future? Where should we host the next conference? So eventually they decided we should have the Gay and Lesbian Conference again next year, still in Hong Kong, although it is gone back to China already. But we believe that Hong Kong is still rather neutral in comparison with the political situation of Taiwan and mainland. So therefore, because of this neutral nature of Hong Kong, that representative could come from Taiwan and China and other places easily.
So has anybody in Hong Kong or in mainland China or in Taiwan ever sort of attempted to organize politically in terms of trying to win more acceptance for lesbians and gays in the larger public, or is it possible to access the government or anything like that?
In Hong Kong and Taiwan, we could do that. In mainland, no way. For example, someone told me that they try to organize some sort of gathering just for a few gay people who could get together and talk about something apart from, you know, having love and having sex, but something rather a bit more social and more serious. But then the district authority would right away pay a lot of attention on them, would sort of, you know, question them, what are they doing, what they're going to talk about, you know, what they're planning on, how many people are going to be in the gathering and things like that, you know, giving them a lot of hard time, a hassle. So eventually, and also they can't say they are organizing gay activity. They have to say they organizing, or it is a gathering of sociology study or psychological study. Even when they want to do some AIDS, you know, support works or things like that, or safer sex education, they still have to use, to disguise with the name of medical, you know, or social public health, you know, things like that. They can't just simply say safer sex education for gay population in China. No way, they can't do that.
So
that's the situation in China. It's really tough and conservative and very closed. In Hong Kong, because of the British, we have much more freedom, room to do so. Like, we could just go and say, oh, we're going to form a gay and lesbian group, and that's it. And we could organize different sort of activity. But we don't know. Since the chief executive office changed the public demonstration law and the law for community organization, which means nowadays, if there is anybody who want to form a new gay and lesbian group, they have to go to the police station to register. And then the founder and the chairman and the committee of that group have to attend an interview hosted by the chief police in the department and gonna be asked a lot of questions like, are you gay or lesbian, you know, things like that. Any questions. And then if the police department approved the application and they have the right to ask you to provide them information of your members, like how many members, who they are, what's their telephone number, where they live, what's their occupation, you know, things like that. According to the present law now, it once was changed in mid-80s that we don't have to do these sort of things. We just go to the secretarial department of the police station and saying that and inform that there's such and such group in Hong Kong. And that's it. We don't have to do anything else. But since the chief executive, Tung Chi Hua, changed the law, now we have to do that. We have to register. Instead of informing, we have to register. We have to attend interview. We have to wait for their approval, you know, and so and so and so. The situation changed.
So it will be interesting to see if somebody tries to start another gay group if it does get approved.
Yeah. I wouldn't dare to. To go to the police station and being asked thousands of questions. Yeah, that's why UC 10% Club in Hong Kong already existing for 10 years. But at the very beginning, when I was the chairman then in the early 90s, when the law was not really changed yet at that time, we dare not to interview even some sort of council member in the Legislative Council told us that not to bother to register or to register our group because he said there would be a lot of problems and lots of interviews, and they probably realized that if we are a gay or lesbian group, then on and off they might ask us to cooperating with them by providing how many members we have and information such and such and such. So that's why we cancel the idea until 1992 or 3, 10% Club eventually registered as a gay and lesbian group because the law changed. It's much easier at that time. So you see, even 10% Club has 10 years long history, but they had just publicly or officially or legally formed it as a social group a few years ago once the law changed. But now the law changed again to what it once was before. So I doubt if that would stop anybody who want to have form any gay and lesbian group. Unless he or she want to form a underground gay and lesbian group, that's another story, you know.
So under British rule, did you guys ever, were you ever able to meet with any of the British governing people to discuss lesbian and gay issues? Yes.
We have met and dealt with politicians and council member and even the government. Before, for example, like in the early day, I think back in when I was 18 years old, that is about 14 or 15 years ago, when I just came out to gay community. At that time, we don't have any gay groups. We only have one gay bar and one gay disco in Hong Kong. gay situation were bad at that time, and occasionally we have police came to gay bar, gay disco, ask for our identity card, drop down our telephone number and things like that. But that only happened in a few years. Once in the mid-80s, everything stopped and no police come to the gay places anymore. And then by the mid-80s, since the 10% Club formed it officially, and also a lot of gay activities happened in Hong Kong, eventually we start to get in touch with, apart from media, we also start to communicate with different liberal or democratic legislative members and politicians on gay rights issue, especially on the decriminalization law of homosexual act. So we like I myself once even met with the representatives from the legislative council. I think it's in 1980 something, on the issue of decriminalization of gay law. Mm-hmm. And like 2 years ago, the local gay groups and lesbian groups even had a meeting with this officer from the Home Affairs Department in Hong Kong on the issue of equal opportunity bills.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we end up with a big argument.
Well, now, it's interesting that you say that, because I read something on the internet a few days ago saying that in the last week before the handover, somebody introduced an equal opportunity bill into Parliament.
Uh-huh.
Did that happen? Did it actually pass?
No, of course not. This is the second time a similar bill appeared in Legal. The first time it was proposed by... Oh, the third time already. The first time it was proposed by a female legislative council member in the Legal. And then, of course, it was turned down by the government. And then the next year, the Home Affairs Department of British Government Hong Kong proposed a similar bills about equal opportunity for different sexual orientation oriented people, and that the second time which the proposal by the government, then we eventually invited by the Home Affairs Department for a lunch and talk about the proposal. But that was the very last moment. They put us at the very last moment. They first talked to businessmen, bankers, and economics people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they just thought they would buy us one lunch and get us on their side, which is not to change the law, not to set any bills to protect people with different sexual orientation. So, of course, we are not so easy to be bought. It's cheap lunch. So eventually we end up lost a big argument, and eventually the government, of course, passed their proposal, which was saying that we don't need to set up special laws here in Hong Kong to protect people with different sexual orientation, because the situation is not that bad and setting up laws is not very practical. Education is the most important, but I don't see any resources using on education of equal opportunity anyway. So, and then this is the third time that a similar bill appeared in Legal Council, but this time it was proposed again by council member, not by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the government turned it down again.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So now, do you know too much about the new government that has come in from China? Do you know much about the people who are running Hong Kong now and how conservative they are?
I think most people in Hong Kong don't know that much. I mean, what we once knew very well was those members in the Legislative Council, especially for gay and lesbian people. Who we know in the old Legislative Council where those democratic people, you know, Miss Loke and Miss Lau, Mr. Lau and these people.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Legislative Council is replaced it by Provisional Legislative Council, which contains most members are pro-Beijing background, and they are also very conservative politicians who we don't know much, who we don't have much relationship or dialogue at all. So this is something that we have to beware. That's what I'm trying to let everybody know, that like all those democratic politicians or democratic legislative member were already out of the game over. Now it's all these people who have pro-Beijing background or businessmen are in the management in the Provisional Legislative Council, which going to run Hong Kong and works on Hong Kong's law in the future, that we have no friends or ally inside at all. This is very important. Without any communication or dialogue or friendship in a Chinese society, to do things would not be easy.
So what, has there been much discussion among, you know, the 10% Club and some of these other organizations about, you know, where to go from here in terms of, you know, what kinds of things lesbians and gays should be doing to, or could be doing to try and continue to win support in the public or, you know, protect their freedoms or anything? No. Do you know what you're going to do?
No, nobody knows. This is the sad thing. Even externally, we don't have good linking with the new political management, or even externally, we don't have very good records or experiences or history participating with social issue, which is fine if internally we have good resources, awareness, and works. But unfortunately, internally, we also have very low awareness on what is going on or what should we do in the future. First of all, like most people here in Hong Kong, the gay population here in Hong Kong, we thought, well, Deng Xiaoping promised that we can still keep on horse racing, we can keep on dancing, and everything remain unchanged, at least for 50 years. And now the British gone away, and so far nothing happened yet. The PLA, the People's Liberation Army, didn't kill anybody in Hong Kong yet. And so we thought, okay, so life can be the same. But in fact, actually everything is changing now. I mean, nothing remains unchanged. And even there is promises from Deng Xiaoping. But also remember, the Beijing government also did once say that they didn't kill anybody in Tiananmen Square. So the, you know, their words are not so reliable, first of all. And then secondly, we could see actually there is a lot of changing now, that the Legislative Council is replaced by the Provisional Legislative Council. This is one change, you know, and on and off. These days I read the newspaper, there's going to be a lot of change. Education will be changed in Hong Kong. They're going to set up different courses to educate people of one country, two system, and how to love your nation, which means Beijing, you know, that all sorts of political education going to be happening in the school now. Even the British didn't do that to teach us how to brainwash us how to love British. But now the Beijing government going to do this, you know, and, you know, so. So, unfortunately, the general gay population here in Hong Kong, what they concern as a corset queen, okay, let's put it this way, that they only concern that if they could find someone who they love, how could they deal with their family? These are the already all sort of, you know, pressures and things that good enough to make them headache. And of course, therefore they don't really have mood and time to talk about human rights or our civil rights or our social welfare or equal opportunity, something so far away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you have bread, I mean, you can't talk about anything else. I mean, first of all, you must have food to satisfy your basic need.
Mm-hmm.
So for the gay and lesbian population in Hong Kong, as they are in a closet, what seems very important for them right in front of their eyes is to achieve a relationship, you know, a homosexual relationship, love affair, sex, and how to deal with your families. You know, then when all these are satisfied, when all these basic needs are fulfilled, then they would be able to talk about something even further, more far away, like rights and democratic and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, their political sense are very weak. And what I see now is everybody's still going to have fun at bar and disco and having a nice, you know, enjoyable night life.
Mm-hmm.
And drinks, fall in love, fall out of love, you know. Even in the gay organizations here in Hong Kong, they don't have any seminars or forums or gathering on this sort of serious issue. I think it is also, on the other hand, a psychological response that since there were a lot of arguments between Beijing and Britain, and also then this is something just newly happened, the handover just happened. So therefore, it seems like storm and rain out there, and the gay population in their closet, they don't want to step out, they want to keep themselves dried
mm-hmm.
inside the closet, away from the rain and storm, so we don't want to join the war too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to get involved with the troubles, all these troubles, you know, between British and Chinese in Beijing. And also all this argument between the Democratic parties and the Conservative parties and the new chief executive office, you know, all these sort of problems. So we don't want to get involved with this trouble, so we just stand aside
mm-hmm.
and kept silent. So I think this is also a psychological response indicated to this sort of, you know, situation. That the gay population or gay organizations here in Hong Kong, they don't want to do anything related to politics
mm-hmm.
for the moment, especially because it's too sensible to do so.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to, all these organizations, they don't want to get the government's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you keep quiet, maybe they will just leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
So if we make too much noises, then they look at us, they pay attention on us, and then they might really do something to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so therefore, this is like, you know, a turtle, you know, once there's anything happening, we just get inside our shell.
mm-hmm.
So if that is the right attitude, personally speaking, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although we kept quiet and they don't look at us now, eventually, I think they will start to do something to us. At this moment, we don't have to be enemy to the new government.
Mm-hmm.
We could be friend to the government instead of being stranger to the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need to be enemy to the new government or to Beijing, but it doesn't mean that we have to be a stranger to them. We
mm-hmm.
can be friend to them. You know, so that's my thought. But unfortunately, all 14 groups here in Hong Kong, what they organize now is just gay movie festival, parties, tea dance party, hiking, you know, all this sort of leisuring style things.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing social, nothing political, nothing, you know, serious.
Mm-hmm. Well, has there been any hints at all from the Chinese government as to how they may